I'm going to spend most of our time looking at this first reading, but I would really encourage you to go home and read this again. It's chapter 18 in the Gospel of Luke, and try to let the Holy Spirit give you a sense of the excitement in our Lord's words when he says, "O God, be merciful to me, a sinner." He's telling us this story. When he gets to those words, he is so identified. The only one who never sinned. That is so beautiful to him, that this man who was a tax collector, working for the occupation forces, makes his money by overcharging, hated by his own people, he's got nowhere to go. And he comes and he stands in the back and he just says, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I don't have a dime. I don't have a thing. I can't plead anything in my own cause." And Jesus' heart leaps at the thought of such a person. Read it until your heart leaps, until you see that that's reality. When we're there, we're where God wants us to be. The first reading from the prophet Hosea, as you just heard. I'm going to look at another text, if you don't mind, because these are hard things to translate, you know, and so I'm not claiming perfection for my own translation. Anyway, it starts, "Come, let us return to the Lord." You've heard me say enough times, right, that that's shuv in Hebrew means to return, and repentance is tshuva, the return. We sin, we distance ourselves from God. And so to come back, you see, is what we call repentance. But it's deeper than that. Because we can sort of feel sorry. "Sorry, God, I wish I hadn't done that." And still stay at a distance. Not be like that man in the parable that Jesus just told. And so, come, see, Neshuvah, let us come back to God. Okay. "It is he who rent," in this translation, "he who struck, but he will heal us." See, this is the call to repentance. It is he who struck us. Whether it be national calamity, our own smitten conscience, whatever. But he will heal us. Literally, he will give us life. Let me find it. "He wounded, but he will bind us up." What confidence. Yes, God had to do that. Because he loves us so much. And he sees that we're killing ourselves. And if he doesn't do something about it, we'll stay dead. How can he get us to have a heart like that publican? And so he says this, you see. "In 2 days he will make us whole again." And again we have that phrase, you see. Yechayenu, he will give us chayim. He will give us life. He will heal us, you see. And then he will raise us up again on the third day. This is a fascinating text. The third day means normally a short period of time and all that sort of stuff. But when Paul says that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, where does he say that? Where did the scriptures say that? here. When Jesus rose from the dead, the whole Jewish people were raised. And he's the one who was smitten and restored. He's the one on the cross. He's the one who suffers for our sins. We're a little embarrassed and uncomfortable, but he suffered. You see, on the third day then, he will raise us up because he will raise him up. And now we can rise. You see? And we shall be made whole by his love. Let us pursue obedience to the Lord. And we shall become obedient. Obedience is so precious, isn't it? He was obedient unto death, death on the cross. Why can't we trust him? Why can't we do what he tells us? Why can't we stop sinning? You see, keep our Lord Jesus in the background there, the only one who was really smitten for sin and never sinned. The only one who, after 3 days, has been raised up, and with him, the whole Jewish people and the whole church. His appearance is as sure, he will come just as sure as the daybreak. He will come to us just as guaranteed as the rain, the former rain and the latter rain. And then, as so often in Hosea, we start to have a soliloquy. God's talking to himself and expressing himself. What can I do for you, Ephraim? What can I do for you, Judah? Mama Selika, what can I do to you or for you? Your chesed is like the morning clouds. There and disappear. Your chesed. This is one of these words. Yeah, it's good to read an article on it, you know, and get an idea of the what they call the Wortfeld, you know, where it fits. But you've got to pray. You see, it means being enthusiastic about the covenant. What covenant? The new covenant. In his blood. Be enthusiastic about this. You see? Your chesed is like the morning cloud. Yeah, you're excited one day, and then you want to sin or show off or whatever, and off you go. See? That's why I smote you with the prophets. And it's true, isn't it? When the Word of God finally comes, it really smites us. Why? Well, let the just man smite me, that is mercy, it says in the Psalm, right? Give me some common sense. And the day dawn for your punishment, for I desire chesed, not sacrifice. You see, obedience to God, they translate it. It's the da'at Elohim. It's the knowledge of God. That's what I want you to have. Knowledge of me. What does that mean? It means to know me. There's two aspects to this. One is to recognize God's authority. And the other is to perceive him. And as Origen, one of the great fathers of the church, said, knowing God is always through contact. You can't know God like you know 2 and 2 are 4 or how to build a bridge. Knowledge of God, the word yada in Hebrew, always means contact. I want you to have contact with me, to know me. Our Lord quotes this, you know, when they're all about sacrifices and stuff. And he just says, look, don't you know what this text says? I want not hesed, not sacrifice. I want that enthusiasm, you see. So now we've got these words, chesed, you see. Well, this is, you see, and then in cycle C, which we have on the weekend, we have the prodigal son again. Isn't that great? This is a call to honest repentance, which is different than just paying a parking ticket. It's a total change that only God can do. So we've had the word chesed, enthusiastic loyalty to the covenant, right? But there's more. There's other words. The word for love in Hebrew is ahav. Ahava is the word, really. In the Song of Songs, set me as a seal on your heart. Shemini. You see? Like a seal on your arm. For love is as fierce as death. And now we have ahava. Love is crazy. When our Lord was preaching to the people and trying to talk them to the Father and heal them, his relatives thought he'd gone nuts. Remember? He's lost his mind. Look at, he's out there. He's not eating. He's not drinking. He's doing nothing but talking about his Father and bringing people away from sin. Remember that? It's in Mark. Okay? You see? Now there's another word. You see? Kinat. Kinat means jealousy, passion, zeal. It's a strong word for love. You remember in Isaiah 9, where we talk about the son being born to us, the child being given to us, and so forth. The last line of that is, and the kinat, and the zeal, the jealousy, the fire of God will work this. You see? And so we have it here now, you see? For love is as, and kinat is as mighty as Sheol. Nobody can stay out of Sheol. Nobody can avoid the power of love once it gets a hold of you. Darts are darts of fire, a blazing flame. You see? Now there's another whole idea of love. Ahava, which is loyalty. It's the love of preference. But it's also a fire. You see what the church is trying to do? It's trying to teach us what it means to have a conversion. A real one. You know? I don't know why I think of this, but there's a fellow, a Jewish convert, very fine man, Schumacher. He was a very successful lawyer, professor of economics up at Harvard. He graduated, and the next day they hired him. That's how smart that guy is. And he was going nowhere, and his life was going nowhere. And he was walking on the beach, just trying to get his head together up there in Massachusetts. And he said, something came to me. It was so beautiful. It was so... And he said, look, I'll give you my life. I'll give you everything. Just don't be Jesus Christ. He was a Jew. You see, a year later, Our Lady appeared to him and said, it was Jesus. Okay, amen. That's a conversion. Now, that's what these texts today are saying. You know, yes, think of the mercy of God. Think of this publican. Think of whatever you want to think about. Think of the gospel for the weekend, the prodigal son. Have a conversion. I remember McDonough, Pat McDonough, I think. Ed McDonough, a man with an enormous healing ministry, enormous. But he was so awed by healing that when people would be coming up and brought up on the stage, he would hide in the back of the stage. He was too awed. No matter how many people, thousands of people he healed, he was so awed, he couldn't watch it happen. See, look what happened. He couldn't do that. He was in the back. And I was in the back with him. And I said to him, as these people were coming up, one after another, I said, when I see this, I wonder why I don't have a conversion. And he said, conversion, that's what I need. I need a conversion. You see how precious it is? A conversion? It's zeal, jealousy, fire, enthusiasm, love. That's what it's all about. Well, I'm going out and get some. Not on your own. You got to beg for it. Say, Lord, I am an egomaniac, and I'll trade it in if you'll just give me that knowledge of you that puts me on fire for you. All the emotions and all the thoughts in the world will never do it. And that's what it says in that Isaiah text, the same thing, the kinat Adonai, the zeal of the Lord has accomplished this. So you see, this text, who gets struck and has his wounds, and they are bound up, and he's brought back to life after, on the third day, raised up? Jesus. And because of that, you see, all his people. That's what we're called to, you see. Let us know, let us strive to know the Lord. Can that get to be a preoccupation? Oh, yeah. That's when we say, Lord, look, I'll trade you any sin, any stupid activity, any waste of time, any egomania that I've got, and I got plenty, if I can just know you better. See, that's conversion.